preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Thankful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. We're continuing our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where there the Apostle Paul is challenging, confronting, admonishing this church about its compromises in the gospel of using different methods and different means than God had prescribed to win the lost. And Paul is contrasting and saying, look, there's a wisdom that God chose that is foolish to this world. Now, what that tells me, dear listener, is that none of our methods, nothing we do, will ever ultimately be popular with the world. And if it is, then it's not of God. So that means theaters, dramas, anything that's entertainment-based is not the method and means that God has chosen to save the lost. Can God do anything he wants? God can do anything he wants. That's not the issue. The issue is, what has God chosen to bless? If we love him, we will honor his commandments. That's what Jesus said. What does God tell us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 about what pleases him? Pleases him, the method that pleases him, that we use by which sinners are saved. Think about this. There is a wisdom that pleases him. There is a wisdom that is in complete antithesis to this unbelieving world. There is a wisdom that isn't always different than the world's wisdom. Verse 22. It pleased God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Now, God didn't say, it pleased God through the message preached to save those who believe. Notice what he put before that. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached. He's describing for us what that message is perceived to be like to the world, which tells me that it's a method that the world is not going to like. There's nothing about it that a seeker is going to like. At least a seeker is the way God defines it. No one seeks after God. Which tells us that if it's foolishness to the world, as we honor this, God uses his power to change a heart. The message, the means is chosen for us. And what I'm saying to you this week on Abounding Grace is, grace has its own method. There's a means that he delights to choose to save by. Foolishness of the gospel preached. He wills to save this way through the hearing. Now, this is important. This is really important because what is preaching then? Preaching is not a guy up there giving us tips for living. Preaching is not a guy casually coming along coaching us. This is a method that God chose that is a proclamation, a heralding. That's what preaching is. A proclamation, a heralding of an authoritative message of Jesus Christ and him crucified and the need for sinners to repent from their sin, turn eagerly to the Lord, trust him for salvation, deny themselves, take up their cross, follow him, become emptied with themselves, and seek to find their life only in Christ alone. Now, that's not what's being offered today. We walk into a service, there's a big production for us. There's a pastor and his team, a coach and his team. And the coach and his team have been working all week to make a production. And they walk in, what do they have? Team A, Team B, Team C, doing their worship skits, doing all their dramas, have the big band, and then what happens? The coach gets up and coaches you along with some moving videos, sentimental music, and he is an enthusiast just to help us along the way. Now, in a culture that says, don't offend me, pastors have been searching for all these methods simply to keep the people happy. And so you have all these letters of method of constant that are constantly being introduced with the goal of making God relevant to the people. And such an approach, sadly, dear listener, Christ has been marginalized to the masses. Nothing real life transforming anymore. No sense of God is in his holy temple that all the earth keeps silent before him. No sense of utter transcendence of God, his holiness, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. No sense that when we come before God, that we're coming before the glorious majesty of God revealed in the person and the work of Jesus Christ as he proclaimed. No, no. God is put on our level. He's one of us, a coach to help us be all that we can be. This is not what the ministry of the gospel should be. It's not us putting up our ladders to try to bring God down to us. You know, it's interesting. That's exactly what Paul exposes in Romans 10. In Romans 10, where he warns about trying to pull down God our way. He says, the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will ascend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does he say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. The simple meaning to that is, don't try to pull Christ down your way. Don't use your methods. There's a method already chosen. The righteousness of faith speaks this way. The word's already near me in the message preached. And he goes on to quote it. How shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God preached. Now, what that tells me is that at the center of your worship, where you attend your church, should be the preaching of the word. If everything else under the sun is the focus, and the preaching, as we understand it, today is being done with a connection of personal stories from the pastor's own personal experience, that is not preaching. That is not the preaching authoritatively of the word of God. It is not about the pastor. It is not about his personality. It is about the message of the cross preached to save those who believe. This is what Paul's fighting for here in 1 Corinthians and in the church in Corinth. God delights to save souls this way. So then we can have all these new ideas, all these worship teams, all these great ideas. We can have 40 days of purpose in a row. We can implement a new evangelism strategy. You know, I'm just waiting for the next fad to come, prayer of Jabez. We can go to conference after conference to learn how to make the gospel relevant to the culture. But isn't it a little bit arrogant, man-centered, and sinful? When God has already said there's a method, a simple method I want you to use to save souls, it's so simple. Preach the word in season, out of season. Why? Because the time will come when men will turn their ears from the truth and want to have their ears tickled. You, Timothy, just keep preaching that word. Men will always create their own ladders, trying to pull down God from heaven to meet us in their own experiences. So this is what God has chosen. Now, how do you shake this into people who've lost all sense that God is doing something powerful anymore through something that seems powerless, foolish, as God calls it? I'm reminded of the golden calf event in Israel's history. God had descended upon Sinai with Moses for the purpose of giving his people his word, his law. And while God was doing this, the people wanted to be like all the other nations. They wanted to have a God that was tangible, something they could see, something that was powerful, something they could touch, something they could reach out, something that was beautiful aesthetically. couldn't see this God. So what did they do? They wanted their visual of God. You know, this is the dilemma we fight for today, right? We are told that men just can't sit and do what we're doing anymore. The fundamental question still, regardless of how lazy or materialized or visual the culture has become, God hasn't changed when it comes to what he says in his word. Israel made a golden calf, and they held it up, and they said, don't get it wrong, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. They didn't deny the Lord overtly, and meaning they didn't want to say that God didn't exist. They wanted to find God their way, and out came a golden calf. Our culture differs very little, dear listener, from what we would think is a primitive act in building a golden calf. Not really. We live in a visual, artsy, theater-driven culture. So did Paul. People don't realize this about the ancient Greco-Roman world. It was full of theater. It was full of drama. Interesting, we find no images of Christ or of dramas or any of these things that the apostle chose to use. Why? Paul says it, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. The Jews request a sign. They always wanted to see something. Jesus, show us a sign, then we'll believe. Right? They request a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. Rightly so. Paul, if you're going to offer us something that will really impact us, then it better correlate with our grand system of Sophia. Sophia was the goddess of wisdom. Don't expect your message, Paul, to be relevant to us unless it meets our standards of wisdom, right? Don't expect that unless it comes with some miraculous sign. Then we'll believe it. You see, this is where it comes to the real rub today. The method. Preaching is what we're considering here. The message of the Christian gospel, dear listener today, the message of the Christian gospel must always appear as foolishness and folly to this world. It will never be outwardly attractive. It has to. Why? Because in it, the wisdom of God is at work, which in every way to the world is an ultimate contradiction. It is foolishness to the world. The divine drama, if you will, before our eyes is now the power of God, but before the world, it's scandalous, as if a bunch of fools are gathering together doing something for nothing. Just a good idea. Let everyone believe what they want to believe. God telling us before the masses to preach his son crucified, splinters and all, bloody on the cross, because we've greatly offended a holy God because of our sin. This is what Paul reminds them of. For see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. You have to remember this about the church today. When we look too much like the world, when we try to reach the world, my fear is, in reaching the world, we've fallen in. And we look too much like the world. Maybe remember what we're being instructed to here. Deny ourselves. Honor what God has said. And we would be amazed at how God would again bless the ministry of the gospel, producing real life-transforming power in people's lives. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.